A-T-H. Where's that spell? Death, 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 death.
Well, people are dying.
Are they ever?
They're living, but they're then dying. And that's the bad part about living, is that you die, and then... I guess the good news is, if you're significant enough, we get to talk about you.
Or yes.
You're allowed the privilege of hearing us from wherever you are talk about you and your life. That is what is that's what Trifecta is all about.
Correct.
We have lost a man of great significance in the world of pop culture and in the world of publishing, if you want to call it that. And that is Larry Flint. And yes, we're a little backed up here.
Boy, are we ever.
As many men are at our age. But Larry Flint is Hustler. That is all I think about when I hear the name Larry Flint. And I didn't know much about Larry Flint until that movie came out, The People versus Larry Flint, in the late 90s.
With Woody Harrelson and Hole.
Was that in...
Courtney Love is...
Yeah.
Yeah. And I believe the great Milos Forman directed that. That was a good movie.
Was it?
I loved that film.
Did you not see it?
I don't think I saw it.
Dude, it is really good. I want to say that it was nominated for Best Picture, and Woody was nominated for Best Actor, and I mean, I think she may have even got some love there. Maybe Golden Globes or something like that.
That sounds right.
But it was...
She was great playing herself.
Yeah, she kind of was. She played one of his wives... for about a 10-year period, and it was the most tumultuous of Larry Flint's life, at the very least. But Larry Flint was born in Lakeville, Kentucky, in November of 1942. His father was a sharecropper. So weird to hear that. Like, that is... this guy was born after my dad... And his father was a sharecropper. It's so weird. So he quit school at the age of 15. And he lied on his birth certificate to get into the Army at 15. And when you read something like that, I think of my kid, who is 15.
Yeah.
And the prospect of him in the Army now.
That's wild.
You talk about life being different back then, man. Yeah. 15 in the Army.
What'd Mike say? People were older back then? Or
Yeah.
Life was hard on folks back then.
They didn't have a choice. So he gets out of the Army at the age of 22. He served 7 years
Good
in the
Lord.
Army. Yeah, yeah. And his mother owned a bar in Dayton, Ohio. And she was selling the bar. He had saved up enough money to buy the bar from her. He paid $1,800 for the bar. The bar did well. He used the profits to buy two more bars. Then Playboy was becoming a big enough thing to where there were knockoffs of Playboy, and he thought that he could get into that game. And he opened up his first Hustler Club in the mid-60s. And I believe this was in Ohio as well. The Hustler Strip Clubs opened up in, Akron, Cleveland, Columbus, Toledo, and Cincinnati. So all of them in Ohio.
So he started in the strip club game, huh?
Yeah, and I don't think they got into this much in the movie. So yeah, he was doing the strip club thing, and then to help promote his business, he had a newsletter that he would send out to whoever, door-to-door type stuff, that you would get mailers about these strip clubs, and the newsletter turned into the magazine. And that was in the mid-70s.
A strip club newsletter.
Yeah.
You want that showing up in your mail, Bob?
I'm just wondering what could possibly be in a strip club newsletter.
Well, I think it was probably an excuse for him to flex his writing muscles.
Maybe.
You know, that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to comment. He wanted social commentary, a lot of politics, interviews, stuff like that. He realized that he had more to offer than just being, an owner proprietor of a shake joint.
Well, the thing was about to go under in the first year. It wasn't doing very well at all. And it was, you look back on it, and frankly, Hustler was gross. Like, It was low rent compared to Playboy. It was anything goes.
It was real, Corby.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Real.
These looked like real people.
Yeah, they did. And maybe that was the key, but it was about to go under, and he was always on the lookout for nude photos of celebrity women because he knew that Playboy was launched by Marilyn Monroe. The Marilyn Monroe spread made Playboy.
That was their first edition.
Yeah, and he was looking for his Marilyn Monroe. Somehow, some way, he learns that a paparazzo had taken a photo or multiple photos of Jackie Onassis, the former Jackie Kennedy.
Oh, boy.
Topless on some French beach, I'm sure.
Yeah, she was sunbathing topless on a Greek beach. She was married to what the Onassis dude, who was a Greek shipping right. magnat, of course. He bought the pictures.
He paid a lot for them, didn't he?
Well, no.
No?
I mean, it depends on what you think of as a lot. Like, I would think that even in 1974, 75, that to acquire photos of Jackie O, that you're looking at a couple of $100,000 minimum. He paid $18,000. And that turned into millions and millions of dollars and copies sold of that magazine, and it put him on the map. One set of photos turned
grainy photos.
Yeah, I've never seen them, man.
No. So you're allowed to do that, huh? You're allowed to buy nudes of somebody
that's what
on
I don't
vacation against their consent and just publish it and sell them. Million copies.
So this guy, and this is the people
Seems
versus.
Like he spent a lot of his life in court.
In court.
Okay.
And
yeah.
this is what the movie was all about. The people versus Larry Flint. He challenged everything.
Because that sounds really illegal.
I know. I don't understand it either.
I think it was a public beach. And if you're visible to. I mean, you can't, like, break into someone's house and take their picture and sell it.
Yeah, but let's just workshop the premise of you probably can't publish photos. That you took a picture of the last issue of Playboy and took those pictures you just took that was actually a picture of a magazine and put it in Hustler. Like you do have to have consent to use photos in your publication, I bet, even in the mid-70s.
Somehow he got away with it.
He always would ask for forgiveness rather than permission.
Well, yes, and I suppose there's a certain genius to the publicity, growing your brand, even if it's in court, probably makes the general total pie bigger for a guy like that.
Well, okay, and so, really, the movie was about Jerry Falwell Sr. going up against Larry Flint. Was that documented when you were at Liberty at all? Was that a thing?
It was always mentioned, and I bet you Jerry mentioned it enough times to acknowledge, you know, his biggest heavyweight bouts. I don't remember hearing that they turned out to be reasonable friends by the end. But I mean, look,
I think that they in the end respected each other. Like, I think at the beginning Falwell thought that this guy was just a
smut peddler.
Yeah, he was a sign that Satan was taking over the world. Yeah,
and
of course.
By the end of it, again, at least how the movie depicted it, they kind of we're like, all right, you know, you're good at what you do, I'm good at what I do type thing, and he kind of respected him for that. But
yeah, I mean, it was a weird time, man. I mean, knowing Jerry Falwell to a small extent like I did, you know, it was definitely a man of the cloth, if you will, who really saw a national spotlight through politics himself. And man, that's intoxicating to so many of these people. So that showdown with Mr. Hustler.
Well, and so
I mean, they both benefited in terms of people knowing who they were from each other.
Like you talk about having, you know, having to have permission to use someone's photograph. The entire Larry Flint versus Jerry Falwell was based on a magazine article that said Jerry Falwell talks about his first time. And it's a picture of Falwell, and it's a parody ad.
It's a comic, isn't it?
He kind of is, yeah. It's about him drinking this Italian liqueur and getting hammered for the first time. And Jerry Falwell took him to court. It went all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court ruled 8-0 in favor of Hustler magazine, saying that the parody...
That satire is legal.
...was protected speech since Falwell was a public figure, and the parody could not have been reasonably considered believable. Like, it was so out there.
Mm-hmm.
No one really believed that Jerry Falwell was getting hammered and you know, having orgies and things like that.
Right.
It's so out of left field.
It wasn't a distortion of truth.
Right.
It was a false, I mean, a completely false narrative in the universe.
And like Bob said, it's basically a cartoon.
Yeah.
And you can't.
And it just made Jerry really mad.
It made him insane.
So I'm going to take you to court.
Yeah.
And Larry Flint's like, sweet. People will know who.
You're right.
More people will know
about
Hustler.
I'm on the map again.
Yeah.
So Hustler did very well and in 1978 for like 5 years. It was doing really well.
My cousins loved it.
Did they have Hustler?
Oh my God.
Yeah. I don't know if any of my older, I didn't have older relatives. I feel like I was the bad old relative, oldest relative. Like I was the oldest of all the cousins and I wasn't that guy. I didn't have Hustlers out in the woods or anything like that for all my younger cousins. I really blew it. So he was on trial in Georgia on an obscenity charge. Like you said, Danny, he was in and out of court constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And he was shot near the courthouse by a sniper who fled. He was permanently paralyzed from the legs or from the waist down. And the assailant was a guy named Joseph Paul Franklin, a white supremacist, who said, I can't remember the exact quote. I read it, but it was he was upset that Larry Flint was all about anybody being with anybody. Meaning, if you were white, you could be with a black person. If you were Chinese, you could be with a Native American. And this guy, he had one of the most shocking quotes. The reason he shot him, he was like, something to the effect of, whites should be with whites and blacks with blacks and Indians with Indians and Orientals with Orientals. And I don't like it any other way. And therefore, I'm going to kill him. That type of thing.
Right.
So,
very convincing voice.
Then Larry Flint went into his depression. He went into, because he was paralyzed, he went into his drug phase, drinking phase, and that is where he met the wife that was portrayed.
Was her name Athena or?
Althea.
Althea.
Yeah, he met Althea, and they had about a 6-year shut-in mm-hmm. where all they did was do drugs and stay in bed.
But she was a big-time junkie, too.
Hardcore, yes. And he cleans himself up, gets out of this. I mean, it is a miracle that guy lived through that. It was every day heroin. Every single day. The wife, Althea...
He was using, too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was.
I don't remember him using heroin in the movie.
Something. I mean, I think it was heroin. I mean, they showed him shooting up and stuff. But it was... For him, it was pain medication. Like, he was in horrible pain after the accident or after the murder attempt. So she contracted AIDS.
That's right.
And I think it was from needles.
Mm-hmm.
And then she drowned in the bathtub.
Off.
Like 2 feet of water type stuff. Yeah. I mean, it was bad. Then I think he got cleaned up and then he became kind of a celebrity. You know, after that movie was released too, Larry Flint became really Larry Flint, and people looked at him completely differently. And they looked at him as this First Amendment protector and
journalism pioneer.
Yeah, and it was a completely different life that he led his last 25 years compared to when he became famous in the late 60s and early 70s. So he is dead, though, at the age of 81, married 5 times. A whole mess of kids. The last time he got married was 1998. He had 5 kids with his last wife.
Dang.
Yeah. So
wow.
He's got.
If he's paralyzed.
I don't know if they saved things. I don't know.
Danny.
Maybe that works.
He can still do it?
I don't know.
I mean, not now, but.
Yeah.
Then.
Right.
I mean,
maybe there's pictures of that we
can
buy
and still
make millions.
Do it.
I think every situation's different.
He wrote several books, autobiography. Anyway,
it screwed up his speech too. That
he did. Talk like this, Althea. Get in here, my medicine.
I thought Woody did a great job portraying him.
He was incredible. He was incredible.
It's a good family movie to watch with the kids,
yeah,
Bob.
Yeah, I think this weekend, maybe, to celebrate your daughter going to A&M, watch The People versus Larry Flint.
Probably not.
Come on.
Is it important?
So uptight, Corby. Remember when you used to be the uptight one?
I know, man. I know.
Kids.
All right.
Around, children.
Is he in? He's in.
Yeah. Come on. Right. Ty is, of course, putting him in.
Absolutely.
They married me.
All right. Up next, the Eli Jordan pregame show.
Yes. Not a good day for the blue, folks.